From KCPW in Salt Lake City, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Voters in Mill Creek Township have a big decision to make on November 6th. On Election Day, they'll decide whether or not to become a full-fledged city, complete with a city hall and a mayor. Proponents argue the Mill Creek community should take this step before other neighboring cities gobble up the area through annexation. They also say a recent boost in sales tax revenue will pay for the new city. But opponents say they're happy being part of the unincorporated Salt Lake County, and they argue that the startup and ongoing costs of running a city will result in higher taxes. Today on the program, we'll hear the pros and cons of the Mill Creek ballot question. Plus, we hear about a Utah charity targeting life after paralysis in Morocco. All that and your calls coming up after the news. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Should an East Bench area of Salt Lake County become its own city? That's the question facing the 64,000 residents of Mill Creek, East Mill Creek, Canyon Rim, and Mount Olympus. And today on the program, we're digging into the details of the Mill Creek ballot initiative and just how such a move would affect taxes and zoning and municipal services like roads and garbage pickup. Joining me on the program this morning is Jeff Silvestrini. He is an advocate for Mill Creek Incorporation, and he's part of the group Future of Mill Creek. And Jeff joins me now. Jeff, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome, Jennifer. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us, Tom Love. He's against incorporating Mill Creek. He's part of the group Preserve and Protect Our Mill Creek Township. Tom, good morning to you as well.
Thanks, Jennifer.
A public meeting about the Mill Creek ballot initiative will be held this Thursday night. We'll give you more details on that as we go. Later on in the program, we hear about life after paralysis and one Utah charity's quest to help patients in Morocco. But first, Mill Creek. If you live in the Mill Creek area, how are you going to vote? Or if you're a resident in the larger Salt Lake County, how do you think Mill Creek Incorporation would affect you and your taxes? You can give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Jeff, I want to start with you. You've lived in the Mill Creek area for like 25 years.
At least 25 years.
At least 25 years. We'll get to the specifics as we go, but just generally, what makes you think that this area would best be served by becoming a city?
Well, I've had a lot of experience in my work as community council chair. I'm here as a private citizen, obviously, but in that work that I've done, I've seen the roadblocks that we run into because we don't have real representation for our area, either in local government or state government. Our municipal government is Salt Lake County, and we're not complaining about the services that we've received from Salt Lake County. In fact, we would continue to receive many of those same services. But in terms of a seat at the table and representation for Mill Creek, there are a lot of things that Mill Creek misses out on because it doesn't have its own local government.
Can you give me one specific example where, you know, it would have really been helpful to have a city mayor in Mill Creek?
Yeah, I mean, so most of us in Mill Creek area get our water from Salt Lake City Corporation. And Salt Lake City sells what we call surplus water to us as non-residents of Salt Lake City. They set a rate at which we buy our water, and throughout history that's been as much as 1.5 times what Salt Lake City residents pay. At a public hearing on that matter, we had no representation. It was a matter of volunteers going to try to talk to the city council sitting as a water district board about the rationality of their rate, and we were successful in getting it lower to about 1.3 times rather than 1.5 times, but we had no representation in that forum. If we had had a city government, they would have been there for us with some professional expertise rather than just having a bunch of ad hoc volunteers who have day jobs and other things to do trying to make an impact for Mill Creek. So in that kind of setting, having a local representative government that cares just about Mill Creek would have served us better than having volunteers. We miss out on a lot of things like that where we don't have a seat at the table because we don't have our own city government. Our county government has a responsibility to serve the whole county. The county council is elected countywide. We in Mill Creek only elect one of those representatives to the county council. And while our representative, I think, has fought for us and done a great job Okay, she's only one of nine representatives on that council. And those other council people, in fairness, have duties to their own constituencies, which are not Mill Creek. So that's why I believe we'll be better off with a government that responds to Mill Creek. We're already paying for that government. We're already paying, you know, part of our municipal services funds goes to pay for the Salt Lake County Council. Each of the Salt Lake County Council people have a full-time staff member that we pay for. So we're going to be we pay for that government anyway. I just think it's that we'll be better served by having a local government that represents Mill Creek residents better than Salt Lake County does now.
Okay, Tom Love, also a longtime resident of this area. I'll put a similar question to you.
Sure.
And again, we'll work through the specifics as we go. But why doesn't incorporation make sense to you?
Because it's unnecessary. We think this is a problem. This is a solution looking for a problem. 30 or 40 years ago, when there were pockets of cities throughout the county, Sandy, Murray, West Valley, and they incorporated and became cities. They built walls. They built walls around those cities to provide services. Now we are wall-to-wall citizens across the county, and the county is in the business of providing services to a host of entities, cities, and unincorporated areas alike. And we think to incorporate and build a city is an unnecessary and redundant and potentially dangerous way to go. It's simply unnecessary at this point. We have great police provided by the county. We have great fire provided by the county. We have great garbage pickup, roads plowed. All of that is just fine, and it's fine the way it is. And creating a new layer of government with a host of, we believe, new expenses, the potential for new taxes, and then the potential to leave the UPD or leave the fire district, all of those things are now put into play and we think are very scary. So 30 or 40 years ago, maybe it made sense to incorporate. At this point, we are wall-to-wall citizens. It's an unnecessary cost and a duplication of services. That's what we believe.
What about, to Jeff's point, that Mill Creek doesn't really have a voice? You know, you're relying on ad hoc volunteers, as he said, to represent the views of the residents in this area. Do you feel like you have a voice in local government?
Yes. We have community planning councils. The Mill Creek area, it's called Mill Creek, is exceedingly large geographically. It's about 45 miles square miles from, in this vote of incorporation, from the top of Mill Creek Canyon down through including Olympus Cove, East Mill Creek, Canyon Rim, and Mill Creek down to the Jordan River. That's an enormous amount of geography, and it's covered by four separate community councils. Jeff has been great to serve on one particular community council. There are three others where folks sit and represent and talk about planning issues, and et cetera, and then take those issues and work with the county. Would we have more representation if we had a city? Probably. Is that worth it? We believe that's taking a cannonball and shooting a fly on the wall. And that it's totally unnecessary. So that's what we believe.
We're speaking with Tom Love. He's against incorporation of Mill Creek. Also with us, Jeff Silvestrini. He is for the incorporation. There is a ballot measure on the November 6th ballot. Should Mill Creek residents vote to support becoming a city? A public meeting about the Mill Creek ballot initiative will be held this Thursday, October 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Skyline High School. We'll give you more details on that as we go. But if you'd like to join us, if you've got questions or comments about the Mill Creek ballot initiative, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. The big question I would imagine for Mill Creek residents is, can a new Mill Creek city support itself financially? So it's the money question. How is this going to affect me, my taxes, my quality of life? Tom, I'll let you do the first jab. Is this financially sustainable?
Well, according to the feasibility study that was commissioned by Salt Lake County, that depending on decisions that are made by a new council elect, that Mill Creek would be in the red over the first 5 years between $2 and $12 million, depending on whether we contract with the county for services or whether we self-provide for services. The feasibility study said it's feasible for Mill Creek to be a city. But under state code, feasible means that you don't exceed 105% of revenue to expense. But there is no floor. So if the study had come back and said Mill Creek could pay for 50% of the necessary fees, The feasibility study still would have said the same thing. It is feasible. So the question of whether we have a big enough tax base, we believe no. We're not Murray. We don't have Costco. We don't have a major sales tax base. We have a Home Depot and we have a Walmart, and those are the two primary drivers of sales tax revenue for Mill Creek. We are a host of residential and home service businesses that don't generate the kind of sales tax revenue that other cities in the county do, and so we believe that it's dangerous. It's unclear. And that's too much risk to take. Additionally, a majority, I think 14 of the 16 cities that live in the county now, charge additional franchise taxes. They charge taxes on electricity, on telecom, on cable. Cities can do that. Unincorporated areas can't. And what cities tend to do, rather than raise property taxes, is charge franchise fees. And that's what would happen in Mill Creek, we think, to make up that additional revenue.
Okay, Jeff. So the feasibility study says, yes, it's feasible. Tom Love says you're going to get loaded with franchise taxes. So effectively, you are going to be paying more.
Yeah, let me respond to what Jeff. Tom said, because I think some things have changed since the feasibility study, which make it which are better for incorporation. First of all, the feasibility study said that Mill Creek is feasible. It said that there would be no tax increase for at least the first year, and keeping the same level of services. And we have no intention of changing the providers of our police or fire services, the UPD and the Unified Police Department and Unified Fire Authority. That decision would be made by the City Council, but we have no plans to do that. It would be unwise to do that in our view. When the feasibility study was performed, it was at the bottom of the recession, and it assumed a 1% growth in sales taxes. One of the things that's changed that Tom doesn't maybe realize is that our police and fire are funded now through separate line items on our property taxes. So they aren't affected by sales taxes. The feasibility study assumed a 1% growth, and the county has actually experienced, in fact, the Mill Creek area has experienced a growth in sales taxes of somewhere between 5 and 13% in the last 2 years.
I disagree with that, and I want to come back to that.
All right, we'll come back to that. But the point is that between the increase in sales taxes and the fact that the fees or taxes that we pay for police and fire have been shifted to our property taxes, we have about another $1 million surplus in sales taxes for other municipal services other than police and fire as a result of paying a tax for our police services on our property tax now. So Mill Creek is going to be feasible, and there are cities in Salt Lake County that don't charge a franchise tax. We pay a franchise tax in Mill Creek Township on cable TV, and they do pay a franchise tax on cable TV in Cottonwood Heights, but no other franchise taxes in Cottonwood Heights besides that.
That's one
so
of two
we don't
cities.
Have to have a franchise tax. Our city leaders will know whether the residents of Mill Creek want their taxes raised. The answer is probably they don't. Resoundingly, they don't. But the point is that we're feasible without raising taxes. We're feasible without a franchise tax. The fact that sales taxes have rebounded makes us even more feasible than that study showed. So it's a scare tactic to say the taxes are going to go up, because taxes don't have to go up while we can keep the same level of services that we have now.
Okay, Tom.
Completely disagree.
Sales taxes. Okay, you say that sales taxes...
There are two forms of revenue.
You were disputing the sales tax projections.
Right.
You can't dispute the sales tax projections. They're the county's own numbers.
No. On your subsequent fiscal analysis, it's county-wide sales tax option. It's not
all
Mill Creek specific.
One of them is Mill Creek
only. 5-7% is county-wide. We don't have the same commercial base that others do. Jordan Landing, Murray, all those others are growing at faster rates than we are.
All right.
Let Tom finish.
They are growing at faster rates than we are, and to say that we have a 5-7% sales tax revenue growth, I think is a misstatement. And back to your original question, Jennifer, mm-hmm. about revenues and is it feasible? There are two forms of revenue. One is a sales tax option. One is a property tax option. Right now in Mill Creek represents 40% of the population in the unincorporated county, but 34% of the property tax base, because the Mill Creek residents are being subsidized by Kennecott property taxes. If we incorporate, we would lose that subsidy.
We won't lose that subsidy unless we leave the fire district or the police district.
Okay, which your which we're saying
we probably won't do.
I disagree, right, Jeff. You can't guarantee that. That's a council elect. And in your subsequent fiscal analysis, you list it as one of the four benefits. You list that self-police is one of the four benefits to incorporation. So what your group is doing is putting that into play. And is putting that into play, and that's why we think this is potentially dangerous. So you list it as a benefit. So, and we believe there, the feasibility study showed that Mill Creek would have a loss of between $2 and $12 million over the first 5 years. And Jeff just said we probably wouldn't need to raise taxes for the first year.
We think we're going to have a surplus of $2 to $12 million over that time. And the reason for that is the increased sales tax numbers. One of the things that you need to understand, Tom, is that sales taxes in Utah are divided not only by point of sale based upon where the store is located, but also by population. With Mill Creek 63,000 residents, we get a substantial amount of sales taxes just because of our population. We're not as poor as people think. We have our REI store on 33rd South is like the second best store in the country by sales volume, second only to the Seattle store. So Mill Creek residents are misinformed. We have a solid tax base in Mill Creek Township, and our residential property values are high enough that we have enough tax to support ourselves. That's what the feasibility study said. It said we are feasible. So
because
between our population
bottom
and the taxes, we're not gonna be in trouble. But we're gonna get so much more in exchange for having our own city. We're gonna have better representation. We're gonna have the choice of who our leadership is, and we're going to preserve our community. That's the best way to keep our community together, which is my main reason for wanting to incorporate.
We're talking about whether the Mill Creek Township should become its own city, and that's the question that 64,000 residents of Mill Creek, East Mill Creek, Mount Olympus, and Canyon Rim will decide on Election Day. Salt Lake County is hosting a public meeting on the Mill Creek ballot measure this Thursday night, October 11th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Skyline High School, 3251 East, 3760 South in Salt Lake. If you'd like to join our conversation, we're speaking with Tom Love, who is against incorporation, Jeff Silvestrini, who is for it, but we need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. This is City Views. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. If voters approve, the Mill Creek area could become the third largest city in Salt Lake County. For supporters, it's a matter of self-determination, but opponents don't see the need to incorporate. Today on the program, we're hearing both sides of the Mill Creek incorporation ballot measure debate. And joining me in studio is Jeff Silvestrini. He is with the group Future of Mill Creek, which supports incorporation. Also with us, Tom Love. He is with the group Preserve and Protect Our Mill Creek Township Against Incorporation of Mill Creek. Salt Lake County is hosting a public meeting this Thursday night on the issue, and we'll give you details on that as we go. But if you'd like to join our conversation, Mill Creek Township residents, how do you plan to vote? Or if you live in the larger Salt Lake County, how would Mill Creek incorporation affect you? You can join our conversation. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. So I guess, Jeff, this isn't dissatisfaction with Salt Lake County in any way. You see that this is self-determination. This is a definition of what Mill Creek is by creating its own city entity. Yeah.
Let me say this. It's not general dissatisfaction with Salt Lake County. We're very pleased with our police services, our fire services. Those are actually provided by separate districts now, not technically the county. We're also happy with snow plowing services, but we don't have representation at the seat of the table that we deserve. We don't have someone working for Mill Creek on economic development just for Mill Creek. We don't have someone working for Mill Creek to get grants just for Mill Creek. In terms of the government structure we have now, community councils are merely advisory. They don't have any real power. And on some key decisions, including the funding for the incorporation education. The county appropriated $100,000 of our municipal services money for this education program. Our four community councils were not consulted about that at all before that decision was made. So Mill Creek needs a seat at the table. The other reason to support incorporation, in my view, is it's the best way to keep our community together. I've been concerned about whether Mill Creek could stay together as a community for a number of years. I've been involved in citizen efforts to lobby the legislature to preserve township boundaries, to protect the township as a viable form of government, if you will, so that we could remain unincorporated. But what I keep running into over and over again is legislators from outside of Salt Lake County who don't understand that issue, who think that wall-to-wall cities is the answer. And in this last year, we've had a number of powerful legislators, as well as other mayors in Salt Lake County, suggest that Salt Lake County needs to move to wall-to-wall cities. 86% of Salt Lake County's 1,029,000 residents live in cities. Only less than 13 and 14% live in the unincorporated parts of Salt Lake County. So we're a minority, and we may be being phased out. The one thing that I've been told time and time again by legislators and representatives of other cities is, if you want to preserve your boundaries, you want to protect yourself, do what everybody else does. Become a city. We're kind of like joining the club after trying to beat our head against the wall. If you can't beat them, join them. We run the risk of if this doesn't go through at the general election in November, of having other people make our decision for us, either the legislature changing annexation laws to accommodate wall-to-wall cities, which is a vision some people have outside of Mill Creek, or citizens within our township can petition to annex into their city of choice. You know, Tom and I debate about this, but you know, annexation is a citizen-driven process where people have to sign petitions. But I've actually experienced annexation petitions that have been supported by adjoining cities. When annexations occur, cities can take up to 5% of the revenue compared to the expenses they have to pay to serve an area. And as Michael Jensen, who used to be the chair of the Salt Lake County Council, said, that's death by 1,000 cuts to the unincorporated county. If you lose 5% of revenue here, 5% of revenue there, pretty soon you're not viable. So Mill Creek is financially viable right now. It's the best way to preserve our community is to become a city and protect our boundaries that way. Cities don't annex parts of other cities. There's a procedure to do it, but it doesn't happen. So the best way for us to preserve our Mill Creek community, which Tom and I both love, at bottom, that's both of our goals. But I view that the best way to protect Mill Creek's boundaries is to incorporate. And the best way, so we get better representation, we get a seat at the table, we get possibility of more grant monies to improve our aging infrastructure in Mill Creek, which really does need attention. For all those reasons, incorporation makes sense. It will not cost us more, I'm convinced. It will be better for us. We'll have more representative government, and we will preserve our community.
What about, to Tom's point, that, I mean, this is a huge swath of land that we're talking about. We're talking about from the Jordan River all the way up to Mount Olympus. I mean, is there a cohesive...
Top of Mill Creek Canyon, further than that.
Is there a cohesive
The answer is
identity?
Yes. The answer is yes, okay? The people who have worked together in the four community councils in Mill Creek Township, Mill Creek, East Mill Creek, Canyon Rim, and Mount Olympus, we've worked together for the last 10 or 15 years to build a sense of community. We conduct joint movie nights. We conduct joint emergency preparedness events. We have a township festival. We function like a city. And yes, if you look at our boundaries, we're all over the place in the sense that we're the victim of prior annexations. If we don't incorporate, we'll be the victim of more annexations, I'm convinced. But we didn't want to leave anybody behind. We wanted to bring every resident of Mill Creek Township along in this endeavor to become our own city. So we took the entire remaining unincorporated area because we want to preserve that community. I think it is a community, and it's a vibrant community. I mean, we're passionate about it. Tom and I are both passionate about it for different reasons.
Okay, so Tom, to this idea that there is a Mill Creek identity that needs to be preserved, it needs to be defined as a city, What do you
no,
say?
I don't. Well, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
No, I don't agree
That's
with
right.
that.
That's exactly right.
No. I don't think it needs to be identified as a city. These are lots of communities that are cobbled together. There is no sense of center in this. There is no sense of gathering point in this geography at all. So to say, is it a community by the other things that Jeff said? Yes. And there are a lot of things that Jeff said in his previous explanation that I agree with, that we are our partners on, and we're neighbors and we're friends. I love the community, and I do want to preserve the community or allow neighborhoods to have their own choice on self-determination. One of the scariest things for us on the anti-incorporation side is a lot of what Jeff said. We're a pawn in a bigger game in county politics. There are a whole host of outside interests who want us to incorporate just to damage Salt Lake County government and to damage the leadership. There are a host of mayors that are pushing for incorporate, want us to incorporate to hurt the power base, to take the money away from the county so that they have less and less influence. And we're a pawn in that game. I don't like that. I don't like outside interests telling us, you know, or influencing us on what to do. And a fear is what the legislature will do, because the legislature meddled in getting this on the ballot in the last session.
So the way to protect ourselves against that is to incorporate.
Totally disagree with that too, because you can still annex as a city. And the point is right now the township laws do not sunset. The township laws do not sunset. We could remain a township for the next 100 years. And annexation laws now are such that the point that when Salt Lake City came in and took Brickyard in 1980 and stole that commercial base, that cannot happen anymore. Annexation petitions must be started by the neighborhood that wants to be annexed. So if a neighborhood in Mill Creek wants to annex to Salt Lake or Murray or Holiday, they have the opportunity to engage in a democratic process to start the petition, pay for the feasibility study, gather one-third of their neighbors' signatures in support of it, then petition the county to approve it, then petition the neighborhood city to approve it. And then they have decided. And in polling that we've done over the last 5 years, there are certain neighborhoods who would prefer to annex than they would to incorporate. But my point is, we don't have to become a city. We don't have to do this incorporation to protect the community that we have.
We're speaking with Tom Love. He's with the group Preserve and Protect Our Mill Creek Township. He's against incorporation of Mill Creek. Also with us, Jeff Silvestrini. He is with the group Future of Mill Creek, an advocate for Mill Creek incorporation. This is going to be on the November ballot. There's a public meeting coming up this Thursday night at Skyline High School about the ballot initiative. And we invite you to join us as well. We'll go to the phones. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Or you can send email to cityviews@kcpw.org. Leslie's been holding in Mill Creek. Leslie, hi.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, thanks. Go right ahead.
Well, my question would be, for those that don't understand the benefits of incorporation, kind of twofold. Do they understand, and maybe what would Tom have to say about the fact that during an incorporation process, residents don't get to vote, so there's really nothing democratic about it. When I look at annexation, I'm wondering how we can, as a township, protect our revenue. The residents who are left behind in the event of an incorporation do not have any say in it, and yet their taxes are the ones that are negatively impacted. Pardon me. And I just wonder what Tom would have to say about that, and what proof does he have that our taxes would be higher if we incorporated?
Okay, Leslie, good questions. Tom Love.
Two points to that. My point about annexation is it is citizen-driven. It is not a hostile takeover. And so to try to put fear in people that they can be taken or their land could be taken, as I've heard from people as I'm walking through their neighborhoods, they don't understand the annexation laws. Annexation is a citizen-driven petition and must be done that way. If people want to be annexed, then they can drive that process. You are correct that it is not a democratic vote, but the way the annexation laws are today, it must be done by the citizens, and if they want to be annexed, they can drive it.
Let me respond
Hang
to that before you do.
Go well, ahead, Tom. What proof do you have that taxes will go up?
There is no proof about a future. Of course, that's a silly question. You can't prove a future. But what you can do is look around at the cities around the county and what they've done. Right now, Mill Creek is at the lower midpoint of taxes for its citizens. If we incorporate, we will lose the property tax base subsidy from Kennecott Copper. It will continue to go to the unincorporated parts of the county. And the other cities that charge franchise fees, there are 16 of them, 14 of the 16 cities charge other franchise fees that unincorporated areas can't. Even in the feasibility study, it says that you won't have to raise property taxes in the first year, implying, of course, that you will raise taxes subsequent to that. So all of these things are the issues that we point to, that revenues will have to be raised to pay for new levels of government.
Leslie, how are you going to vote?
Oh, I'm going to vote for incorporation. I've worked in the community for many years, and unlike Tom, I think I have a far better understanding of what our residents need and want and what the downsides are of continuing to be in the county.
All right, Jennifer. Leslie, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Let's go to Eloise calling from Canyon Rim. Eloise, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I'd like to encourage people to vote no. And then I have 2 points to make. One about the feasibility study that the four incorporation study site did, which their update was a six-month snapshot of the best revenue period, which doesn't fit the legal terms of a feasibility study. And then, to add another layer of government, that would only benefit a handful of people financially and would not guarantee that you're going to get somebody on the council who agrees with you. You have just as much opportunity with the county to have somebody take care of your needs as you would with a small city government. So I think, and to me, it's only common sense if you look at the surrounding cities that have incorporated and how they have increased their taxes on residents that our taxes would go up eventually. Thank you.
All right, Eloise, thanks so much. I guess, Jeff, convince Eloise. Why aren't her taxes going to go up? Why do you have to have a seat at the table, as you say? I mean, she feels like she's already represented.
All right, well, here's Eloise, I hope I can convince you. First of all, those who are concerned about an added layer of government should understand that you're already paying for a very expensive government in Salt Lake County. Our county council is paid, and they each have a full-time staff person, and the county mayor is one of the top paid mayors in the entire county. A city is likely to have a part-time council and likely a part-time mayor that will cost far less but be far more responsive. And you'll be electing a neighbor. In Canyon Rim, you'll be electing somebody that you know to represent a district in Canyon Rim. It would bring it much closer to the people. And having a seat at the table, Eloise, if you live in Mill Creek, you know, like I do, that many of our sidewalks and our sewers and our other infrastructure was built in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And those of us who remember the 70s fondly must remember that that's like 40 years ago. So we need help with that infrastructure, and we can do that better because those of us who live in Mill Creek drive past it every day, walk past it every day, see the problems. The county council, unfortunately, if you live out in West Jordan or South Jordan, you don't know Mill Creek's problems. We can bring our government home and do a so much better job if we do that, and it doesn't have to cost more. I want to address a couple of things Tom said about annexation. You know, annexation is citizen-driven, but if we had a five-acre parcel, and I own a commercial section of 2.6 acres of that, there can be 9 other people that each own a quarter of an acre lot that go along with me if I sign an annexation petition. There's no vote. It's not majority rule. It's based upon whether the city that we're attempting to annex into thinks that there's enough surplus revenue up to the 105% that they want to take us. And so there is a risk of that. There is no protection to our boundary. You say that the township doesn't sunset. That means that the entity of a township with a planning commission doesn't sunset, but there is absolutely no boundary protection that goes along with the township.
Jeff, how does that change under
a... So I'm going to sneak in one last phone call. This is Emily calling from North Salt Lake. Emily, hi.
Hi. I'm just going to speak from my personal experience. When I was a child, I grew up in Taylorsville before it was incorporated, and I had cousins that lived in a city that was incorporated, and the difference... Just from a child's perspective, the things that they experienced, kind of that sense of unity within their community, they'd have city parades and festivals. And I remember as a child wondering why our city didn't have that or why my area didn't have those kinds of things. Since then, Taylorsville has incorporated, and I think the city of Taylorsville is far more organized and just a better quality of life than it was when I was a child. So okay. I'm totally for incorporating cities.
All right, Emily, thanks so much for those thoughts.
Can I add something to that? When Emily was a child, it's like we talked about, the county was a different place. And there were islands of cities and Sandy City and West Valley City, and there were islands of rural areas. Today we're wall-to-wall people. And because of a lot of work that Jeff and his community councils have done, we have lots of parades. We have lots of events, all the movie theater stuff that he talked about, the 4th of July parades that go up and down Evergreen Avenue. We have a host of community activities that exist now because we're wall-to-wall people. So it's a different – the county's a different place than what Emily remembers.
Okay. We have.
I'm going to have to leave it there. I have to get to these what-if questions. So if residents choose to incorporate, where's the city hall going to be?
The city council will decide where a city hall will be.
So
it's likely going to be leased space, and
for now.
Well, it's likely to be a leased space.
Okay, so that question is unsettled with this ballot measure.
That's right.
If voters approve a city, what form of government is it going to be? So you can have a mayor and a city council. You can have a professional city manager.
Something that people need to inform themselves on, because on our ballot there are going to be three questions. The first question is, should the area described as big, long legal description be incorporated as Mill Creek City? Question number two is, what form of government should we have? And there are mayor-council forums where you have a strong executive mayor, or there are just weak mayor forums where there is the mayor is a member of the city council, doesn't vote except in a tie, and you hire a city manager. So that question is on the ballot. Residents need to inform themselves about that, too. The people in the future of Mill Creek think that a weak mayor form is the most economical and the best way to go. Then the third question is, do you want your representation to be at large or by districts? And by districts means that you get a city council person that represents a small area. At large obviously means that everybody in the city votes for all the city councilmen. In future of Mill Creek, we think that district representation makes more sense to bring that government down to the people. And as the caller said, I think by having a city, we will be better represented, we'll have a better government, and we'll have the things that forge a sense of community, like the caller said, that people will know and be proud to live in the city of Mill Creek.
Tom, you oppose incorporation. What do the polls say? Have you been doing any polls? Any predictions on Election Day?
Well, I think on any issue, yes, we have done some polling. On any issue that's a yes or no, the burden is always on the yes, regardless of the issue. To change status quo is always harder, and to convince people to make a change is always harder. So it's going to be harder for incorporation to win than I think it is to defeat, and our polling shows us ahead anywhere between 8 and 16 points over the last 90 days.
And if voters disapprove, if incorporation is voted down, is the question settled? Once and for all.
Well, it's been an issue in Mill Creek for 10 years, and really actively for the last four. I think it would be settled once and for all by residents. Will other people meddle outside our boundaries? You know, that's something that would still worry me. There have been, if it passes, one thing that we haven't talked about today is, if this passes, there is an opportunity for a council elect to choose to self-police. And in Jeff's group's subsequent fiscal analysis, they talked about the opportunity and the financial incentive to self-provide police. That is something that scares us to death, that leave UPD. Now, I've heard Jeff say it, and he said it earlier in this show, and he said it at other areas, that would be stupid for Mill Creek to leave the UPD. But the fact is, if incorporation passes, a council elect of 5 to 7 people alone will determine whether we stay in the UPD or leave the UPD. And in two of the pro-incorporators meetings, he's had folks on his panel who have spoken openly about why it would be beneficial to have Mill Creek incorporate and leave the UPD, join with Holiday, and join with Cottonwood Heights, and create an East Side Police District. And that, for us, for leaving the UPD, is frightening.
We're not planning on leaving the UPD, and but what we would like to have is the ability to make the best decision for our area based upon the facts. if we elect a city council, they're going to be smart people like Tom and me. Okay, they're not going to make dumb mistakes like leaving the UPD or leaving the UFA. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the choice to do what's best for Mill Creek, if that were to happen. So I think put that out of your head.
Except that's what Cottonwood Heights said, and then they left the UPD.
Right. I apologize. Tom, give us where people can find out more information about incorporation from your viewpoint, preserve and protect our Mill Creek Township.
Sure, absolutely. We invite all interested citizens to go to knowtocityofmillcreek.org. That is our website. It has our positions and a whole host of frequently asked questions, an opportunity for lawn signs, brochures, information. Please get involved. Please get informed. No matter how you vote, please do vote.
And Jeff, future of Mill Creek.
All right. It's future of Mill Creek site is cityofmillcreekut.com.
And there's a Salt Lake County-sponsored website as well, which offers both sides.
Right, and that's called MillCreekBallot.com.
Okay, and again, a public meeting about the Mill Creek Ballot Initiative will be held this Thursday, October 11th, 6 to 8 p.m. at Skyline High School. All of those links will be on our website, kcpw.org. Jeff Silvestrini and Tom Love, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Jeff.
Coming up next, we moved to healing those with spinal cord injuries. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Every year, 20,000 Moroccans face paralysis and neurological disabilities, but there's no medical facility in the country where they can rehabilitate and learn how to deal with traumatic brain injuries, stroke, or spinal cord injuries. A Utah-based charity is working to change that, and today on the program, we're learning more about the needs that the Zahra charity is hoping to address. Joining me in studio is Dr. Mohammed Sabai. He's a neuroscientist and co-founder, co-chairman, and CEO of the Zahra Charity. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
The Zahra Charity. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sabai, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Also with us, Dr. Dale Hull. He's a former OBGYN, current executive director of NeuroWorks, an outpatient physical therapy clinic that focuses on patients with spinal cord injuries. He's also president of the board of directors of the Zahra Charity. Dr. Hull, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
The Zahra Charity is sponsoring an event this weekend. It's called Sound and Light, a benefit concert that will be held this Saturday, October 13th at Liberty Gardner Hall. It features the artist Josie Nadeau painting live to the music of Rimsky-Korsakov, performed by the Salt Lake Symphony. We'll give you more details on that as we go. But you can join our conversation if you or a loved one has experienced a spinal cord injury or other neurological disorder. What therapies did you find most helpful? You can give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Dr. Sabai, before we get to the work that you're doing in Morocco, I'd like to first address Dr. Hull and start with your story. I understand that you were a practicing OBGYN in the South Valley when your life changed fundamentally in 1999. What happened?
Well, I experienced a spinal cord injury to my neck region on a backyard trampoline. I was unsuccessful at doing a backflip, and so I immediately became paralyzed from the neck down. Hmm. And so in a mere fraction of a second, my life changed completely. So I couldn't go back to practice and faced the reality of paralysis for the rest of my life.
You suddenly found yourself in the patient's seat instead of in the provider's seat. I mean, what was that transition like?
Oh, it was very difficult, and obviously there's a big long story that goes into that whole thing, but probably the biggest issue for me was as I worked through my own rehab, I realized very quickly that at least in our community there was some unmet needs for people with paralysis, and because of the way insurance changes have occurred and length of stays, et cetera, once people were discharged from the hospital, there were very little choices and not very many resources available for those who wanted to continue therapy, who were eligible for therapy and had great potential to make strides. So my physical therapist, Jan Black, was an amazing mentor and guide and person to help me. And so together, we kept saying someone should start a specialty clinic for individuals with paralysis here in our community. And it's kind of one of those funny stories where, you know, you keep saying someone, and then eventually you kind of look at each other and say, I guess we're it. And
and that's what NeuroWorks is. I understand that you spent 3.5 years in rehab. What's involved learning to recover from such a drastic injury like paralysis?
Well, you know, the medical dogma has always been that once the central nervous system has been injured, it cannot improve. Once damaged, it that's the way it stays, which we now know is not true. There's a term called neuroplasticity, which has gained its way into the medical vocabulary over the last decade or so, championed a lot by Christopher Reeve. And the idea is that the nervous system can heal, adapt, rejuvenate, renew, reorganize, whatever word you want to put in there, if given some opportunity. But that opportunity requires some innovative input and stimulus and a lot of time. And so the idea behind NeuroWorks was to provide that opportunity for individuals who had the potential, who wanted it, who were motivated. And because of that, because of the extraordinary time and expertise and equipment that we provide, we see people who make gains, extraordinary gains.
Well, I suppose you're one of those people. You walked into the studio today.
I did. I'm still partially paralyzed, but I'm affectionately known as a walking quad. So, I'm very blessed to be where I am.
We're speaking with Dr. Dale Hull. He is president of the board of the directors of the Zahra charity. Also, Dr. Mohamed Sabai, a neuroscientist, co-founder, co-chair, and CEO of the Zahra charity. And we invite you to join us if you've got questions or comments about rehabilitation from neurological disorders. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Dr. Sabai, as I mentioned in my introduction, there are thousands of Moroccans every single year who don't have access to the kind of specialized therapy that Dr. Hull just talked about. I guess why? Why focus on Morocco in particular?
Focus on Morocco, obviously, because I'm originally from Morocco, but I have to say I have a personal story like Dr. Hull. In 1999, my late older brother was injured in a car accident in Morocco, and he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury that put him in a coma for several months. And we were not very hopeful as a family to see him coming back out of a coma. And when he did, we were very excited, obviously. But our heart was broken again because we discovered that in Morocco, although he has a very good quality medical insurance, we just couldn't buy him anything over there as far as his need for rehabilitative care. So we tried to send him to France, where I had a lot of medical contacts, and that didn't work very well. And at the end, I have to sponsor him and bring him here to the U.S., and we have seen firsthand what kind of impact a good medical care can have on the health of a 100% handicapped person like my late brother.
So the goal of the Zahra charity is to create a clinic in Morocco that's very similar to what we have here in Utah, the NeuroWorks clinic that Dr. Hull started. How close are you to opening that clinic in Morocco?
We divided the plan for building this facility into two phases. We call phase one and phase two. Phase one is going to be very small in size and very small in financial need. We are hoping to see a facility of about 3,000 to 5,000 square feet where a few people will be working there, headed by an MD. All of them will be trained here in the U.S. And then phase two, we hope, will happen 5 to 6 years after that, where we are going to go there and then actually build a facility, a U.S. facility there. That's going to be much more comprehensive and much larger than phase one.
What's your timeline?
For phase one, we are going to start, if everything goes okay, we are going to start July 1st, 2013. So it's coming very fast.
Mm. You've got an interesting fundraiser to support this effort coming up this weekend. The artist Josie Nado will be painting live on stage as the Salt Lake Symphony performs. How did this event come about, Dr. Sabai?
She was actually the one who suggested this idea, and she pioneered the concept of painting live in response to music. Apparently, she met George Harrison of the Beatles about 15 years ago in Montreal because she's a Canadian-born artist. And he was singing to her in the middle of a concert, and somebody asked her to paint because she's a painter. And she did that, and she just enjoyed it so much. And her dream since then was to paint to a full-fledged symphony. And we are very happy to have her support, and we are very happy to help her realize her dream. Just a quick note about Jose. She was an artist in residence at the very coveted art school, which is the former house of Claude Monet in the suburb of Paris, in Giverny. She spent 10 years there, so she is your typical Monet's impressionist style kind of painter. So we are happy and very excited to have her.
It sounds like a wonderful event. The Zara Charity holding a fundraiser titled Sound and Light with the artist José Nado painting live to music performed by the Salt Lake Symphony. The event will be held this Saturday, October 13th at 6:30 p.m. at Libby Gardner Hall at the University of Utah. And we'll have links to more information on our website, kcpw.org. Dr. Mohamed Sabai and Dr. Dale Hull, thanks very much for your time, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
City Views is a production of KCPW in Salt Lake City. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Ryan Cron composed our theme music. Coming up tomorrow, a tribute to one of Salt Lake City's most influential movers and shakers, Jack Gallivan. So join us for that. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.